18. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, and it's page 448. If you're sharing in, if you're following in one of the black church Bibles, Saul's jealousy of David. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. And they danced and they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came and forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing his harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall," but David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord." For Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my family or my father's clan in Israel, that I should become the king's son-in-law?" So when the time came for Merab, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Meholah. Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. "I will give him to her," he thought, "so that she may be a snare to him and so that the hand of the Philistine may be on him." So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Amen.
When I was at primary school, we had sports day every year. Remember school sports days? I love school sports days. One year we had a cycle race. But it was a cycle race with a difference. The winner was the one that came last. I've told you this before. I've actually done a lot of it just so that you know. We've looked at David on a Sunday evening. So if you're around on Sunday evenings for a long time, you'll remember some of the things I'm going to say. But we had a cycle race, and it was the last was the winner. So it was a question of who could go slowest. Riding a bike slowly, it's actually as hard as riding it is fast. Big thing in the Bible about the last will be first and the first will be last. God loves a humble person. It says in James, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if we want to be people like with a heart like God's, with a heart that pleases the Lord, then we need to be among many things, we need to be humble people. And we see that in David here. I don't know if you noticed it. Let me give you four things this morning. I'm aware of the time. I'm not going to be long on this. But firstly, I want you to notice the humility of David in service. He was a man who was humble in the way he served. That fits with the theme of this morning's service. We have that right at the beginning of the chapter in verse 2. It says, "From that day on, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house." David, having gone through this wonderful victory over Goliath and leading the country, setting them free, is taken by Saul into a full-time position of royal service. It would have been very easy in that situation for David, who was probably late teens at the time, probably 17, 18, 19 maybe. Very easy at that point to get dazzled by position, to get dazzled by power, to get dazzled by privileges that are given to you. The accolades that people gave him. Did you notice as when David went back from the battle with Goliath and the victory, as the army went back through the villages, the people would come out of their houses and they were dancing and singing, "Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain the tens of thousands." David is being feted. He's getting a ticker tape welcome wherever he goes. It would have been very easy for his head to be turned, wouldn't it? We see that quite often, do we not? You get these days of the reality shows and all of those kind of things, X Factor and whatnot. These ordinary people who just go on and then within a year, they've kind of changed in their character. People, "Oh, I'm not going to let it change me." And almost invariably, it does. It would have been easy for that to happen to David. But there is none of it. There's none of that that happened. David just got on and did what he had been asked to do by King Saul. He just did it. He just served. Whatever he was asked to do, whatever Saul gave him to do, he did it. Wherever Saul sent him to go, he went. It was just like when he was at home with his father and his brothers. Remember what he did? He looked after the sheep. He was probably the cleverest, the most godly of the lot. But he just did what he was given to do. He was a man with a humble heart. And we will see as he goes through it, he wasn't perfect. We'll pick that up as well. But he was a man who would do what God wanted him to do. Who was available to serve, willing to serve God and serve others in humility. And what happened? He prospered. Everything he gave that God gave him to do, he prospered in him and lifted him above his peers. God loves a humble heart. And in the Bible, he says he promises to lift up the humble and to put the proud down. Are you one of those that wants to please God, to have a heart that pleases him? Then seek to become humble. Be willing to serve. Be humble in service. The second thing was his humility in success. In verse 5. It says, "When whatever Saul gave him to do, David did it so successfully that God gave him a high rank in the army." Whatever he gave him to do, he prospered, and it didn't go unnoticed by Saul or the people. So he gets this position of prominence, of leadership in the army. So he got position. He'd also got popularity. We mentioned about the way the people went out and fated him in ticker tape. You know, Saul has killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. Very easy, not only with service, but in popularity, to become proud. Didn't happen with David. He kept his feet firmly on the ground. Verse 14, we read the verse. It says, "In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him." The reason that David was able to serve in the way he did, despite being so successful, not to get a big head, was because he knew that whatever he did was God helping him to do. It wasn't really because of him. And it's interesting. Let me just give you a little insight here as to what success is really about in God's eyes. The word success, it says there, "In everything he did, he had great success." That little word success is a particular word in the original Hebrew language. Now, I don't want to try and be clever. And I don't want to try and make you into Hebrew scholars, but I think there is some significance in this, because that the word that's used and translated as success is a word that's used in other places in the Bible, and it's translated slightly differently. And if I just give you a couple of comparisons, it will help you to see what it is to be a success in God's eyes. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." That the word wise there is the same word that's translated as success in 1 Samuel. Somebody who is successful is a wise person. A wise person will be successful. And what's it saying about there? When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Basically, David knew when to keep his mouth shut, as well as when to open it. It's a sign of a humble person when we're going to listen more than we speak. Humble people don't always say everything they know. The second place where the word is used, again in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 11, it says, "When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge." The word there is instructed, and it's the same word, the Hebrew word sakal. It's the same word, instructed. So the second thing about being wise, second thing about being successful, is being willing to be teachable, to be instructed. David was willing to listen, he was willing to learn, he was willing to be taught. You put those things together. And you can't learn when you're talking, can you? You learn when you're listening. What do you notice about that picture? What do you notice about the man? You could give me any answers. How many years has he got?
2 ears, 1 mouth.
Yeah. He's got 2 ears, got 1 mouth. Don't need to say anything else. There is another thing about David here in the story. As he gained in success and position and responsibility, he also faced opposition. And the more Saul saw David doing well, the more he hated him. You see, not everyone loved him. It had a profound impact on Saul. It says in verses 8 and 9 that jealousy gripped Saul's heart. It says that he was angry. It means he was burning within him. It says the word, the NIV translates it, he was galled in his heart. It means that his stomach was churning. There was a physical reaction going on. It agitated him so much. Have you ever had that? When something winds you up so much, there's a physical thing going on. That was how Saul, this wasn't just a little kind of dislike. This was a huge something going on. He was paranoid about David, fearful about what David would do to him and taking the kingdom. He recognizes that the Lord is with David. And this just makes it worse. And so Saul settles on a long and relentless campaign to have David killed. And we will see that over the next few weeks in many different situations. But again, Saul would never do his own dirty work. You may have noticed it as David read it, as John read. But if not, read it through again. You'll notice that Saul never does his dirty. He always wants to get somebody else to do it. He'll stoop so low that he'll even use his own daughters to try and trap David, to try and get David to do something. He says, "Yeah, you can marry my daughter, but all I need you to do is kill 100 of the Philistines." You see, Saul is registering his thinking. He won't be able to do it. He'll be killed in the process. "I'll make him a leader in the army." It wasn't because Saul respected David. It was because he wanted to put David in a position where he thought that he would get killed. Lock that away, because later on David did exactly the same thing. Here we see Saul angry, jealous of David. What's David's response to it? He just keeps on doing what he's been asked to do. It doesn't turn his head. I'm sure there were times when he was afraid of things. But he just kept on going on. He kept being wise. He kept learning. He kept listening. He didn't stand and fight Saul any more than he did his brother Eliab when he was jealous. He took it on the chin and he just got on and did what he was given to do. He didn't rise to it. He didn't rise to the bait. He didn't get into arguments. He didn't fight back. He didn't try and defend himself. That's humility. When you're willing to let other people speak ill of you and not to fight back. And you know, one of the things that we will discover about David is that he was kind of like a prototype of Jesus. Because what we're saying about Jesus here was equally, David is equally true of Jesus, wasn't it? Do you remember when Jesus was before Pilate and he's about to be killed? And it said, and he opened not his mouth. He didn't respond. All through Jesus' life, he had people opposing him. And there were very few times where he got into arguments. He just got on and did what his father had given him. You know, a humble heart is somebody that just carries on and doesn't get too phased, doesn't get turned by the opposition. And the last thing this morning is David's humility in friendship. Picture for you again. I know some of you like pictures. Said that friends are like toothpaste. They show up when you're squeezed. David is squeezed in this situation. What happens? God graciously gives him a great friend, Jonathan. In the midst of Saul's hate-filled jealousy, David was given a soulmate, a true friend, none other than Saul's own son. Maybe it's not surprising. We've met Jonathan before. Jonathan was the one who went out and attacked the Philistines' outpost when his father was afraid. David was the one who went and attacked Goliath when Saul was afraid. They were two and the same kind of people. No wonder their hearts were knit together, a true kindred spirit. And David needed that now. But you see, they should have been bitter enemies. David is about to take the throne that should have been Jonathan's. The normal thing was that in those days, you killed off your rivals. You killed off anybody who might potentially be a threat to the throne. Jonathan should have been seeking to kill David. David, knowing that he was going to be king, should, by rights, have been looking to kill that Jonathan. Instead, they become friends. It takes humility to receive and offer friendship from people who might be a threat to us. People who we might not get on with. People who have wound us up. Now, that wasn't the situation in this case, but in their social setting, these two should never have been friends. David is humble enough to receive the friendship from someone who was potentially a rival to the position that he was going to have. He was a guy who was willing to take in friends, willing to accept people for who they were and not look at their position. Makes us vulnerable when we are willing to become friendly people, because we can get used. Things can come back and bite us, that can haunt us, but real humility has an open heart to people. So this little look at David this morning, a man after God's own heart, the first thing we see, he was a humble man in all of these different ways. And as I mentioned just now, there is a greater than David that modeled it even better. That is our leader, our Lord, our King, the Lord Jesus. He was humble in all situations, whether it was success or whether it was danger, whether he was among enemies or whether it was among his closest friends. David is a picture of Jesus who stoops to come down to become our friend, loving us, being loyal to us, being kind to us, regardless of who we are or what we've done. And our challenge is not simply to be like David, but of course it's to be like Jesus, isn't it? To follow him who saved us from our sin, who assures us of heaven, and he says, come follow me. May God build into us that humility, genuine humility that's always willing to think more of other people, to put other people first, willing to serve them and to serve God as we do. So let's finish our service this morning. with a song about Jesus.